And at this time, we have our brother in Christ coming before you. Jimmy is going to give the message today. And it's going to be a powerful one because I can see the slides he has up here. And it's something remarkable and profound. So the next voice you shall hear will be that of the living God, spoken through his chosen manservant, Jimmy Drew. Hear ye him.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Let's pray. Our great and awesome God, Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Holy Spirit, our Comforter, we come before you asking that the Holy Spirit fill every one of us. I am praying right now that this place be filled with your angels. We want sweet words whispered in our ears, that our minds can turn directly to you, that we can see you, Lord, and see the blessings that we've had. Lord, I pray that I'm in the background. I'm praying that all the words that are spoken here are from you, nothing from me. We want to lift you up. And we want to thank you for all the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the name of this sermon is A Tale of Two Countries. Have you ever heard of the book, A Tale of Two Cities? Well, this is A Tale of Two Countries. When we were on our way up to Maine,
This is doing what I tell other people. Please don't let that happen.
How's that? We're on our way up to Maine. We were seeing flags all over the place. 4th of July. Today is the 4th. Yesterday was the 3rd. But we're seeing flags all over the place. More than ever. Because it's the 250th birthday of our country. Amen. Does anybody ever remember these? The bicentennial quarters? That was the 200th. And I remember when these came out, and I thought they were pretty neat. And I'm like, wow, 200 years old. The United States, 200 years old. And I really didn't soak in what it really meant. I was 14. Now 50 years later. Amen. You know, time flies by when you look back. But 250-year anniversary of the United States. What's it all about? It has been said that it was an experiment. Man, this keeps on turning. Okay, now I know it's not people's fault. Right? Maybe that's a little better. All right. It was an experiment, you know, by the people, for the people. A lot of countries didn't think it was going to happen. It wasn't going to work. It just it's all going to implode. You know, you need a king. That's what you need. You have to have a king. What did Israel do? All right? God was their king. And they said what? We'll have a king like the other countries. Well, the United States said, no, we're going to do this different. We want a president. We don't want a king. But we celebrate every July 4th. Now, John Adams, on July 3rd, 1776, he wrote to his wife, and this is what he said. It says, on July 3rd, 1776, the day before Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence, Adams wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail. predicting that the occasion would be celebrated by future generations with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations across the continent. Did you see that yesterday? Is it happening today? All over the place. We were up in Maine. This is from last year. They do a bonfire. Just like he said, bonfires. Look at all those pallets. It's a little island just off the shore. And what they do is, and I look at it as the natives, all of a sudden they start running around in torches at 9 o'clock. You see a bunch of torches running around, and then they light it on fire. And Jerry's camp is down a ways, and we're right on the water, and you can feel the heat from the bonfire kind of far away. And it is huge, absolutely enormous. And while that's happening, the fireworks are being shot off from the Maine side and from the New Hampshire side, side to side. And it can go for over an hour. Over an hour. But you can see Sherry's head. She's right there. So I was in the back. Like I say, this was from last year. But to see these things, it's one thing to see the fireworks and everything like that, but to really experience things firsthand. From the World Cup happening, we've got a lot of people from different countries that are coming to our country, and they are in awe at the United States. I've been watching some of the videos, and I'm just sitting there smiling ear to ear. I mean, one thing, we are gluttons because our portions are like this. And everybody's like, really? You know? But, and then some of them that have gone back home, they're looking at something that you see in the United States this big and it's this tall. Same company, same everything, but it's just everything's tiny. This country has been blessed. It's in prophecy. Liberty. We got the Statue of Liberty. And it means more to some people than others. I mean, I was born in the country, but other people that have come from other countries, they seem to love our country more than we do. And we're seeing that more now. There's two sides fighting. I'm not getting into that. But when you have something, you don't appreciate it until you lose it. And that's all of us. It happens to all of us. This big, vast, vast country, because it's huge. You know, you're not going across this country in one day or 2 days. You know what I mean? You go from coast to coast. But how did it all start? This is the question. How did it all start? We see it's in prophecy. Now, in prophecy, what does it say in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11? And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb. Dot, dot, dot. Great Controversy, 1888 edition. 4:1. And he had two horns like a lamb, and the lamb-like horns indicate youth, innocence, and gentleness, fitly representing the character of the United States when presented to the prophet as coming up in 1798. So did it all start in 1798? I mean, the Declaration of Independence was what? 1776. But we're seeing 1798 is when the prophet is seeing when the United States is coming up. So, Great Controversy, 1888 again, page 290. Many earnestly desired to return to the purity and simplicity which characterized the primitive church. Hunted, persecuted, and imprisoned, they could discern in the future no promise of better days. And many yielded to their conviction that for such as would serve God according to the dictates of their conscience, England had ceased forever to be a habitable spot. In their flight, they had left their homes, their goods, and their means of livelihood. They were strangers in a strange land, among a people of different language and customs. In the midst of exile and hardships, their love and faith waxed strong. They went to Holland first, you know, these people that we're talking about. They trusted the Lord's promises, and he did not fail them in time of need. His angels were by their side to encourage and support them. And when God's hand seemed pointed them, when God's hand seemed pointed, pointing, sorry, them across the sea to a land where they might find or found for themselves a state and leave their children the precious heritage of religious liberty, they went forward without shrinking in the path of providence. And that was the Pilgrims. 1620, where did they land? Massachusetts. We have got so much rich history in this state. And as I'm thinking, you know, all the different things that have happened in our state, other people in different states would love to see this is where it happened. I mean, who would want to go over and see where Jesus walked? I'd love to see it. My brother just did that tour over there, over in Europe, the Reformation tour, and my brother said, Jimmy, it changed my life. But for people to come across the United States and come to Massachusetts, and here we are, Massachusetts? You want to come to Massachusetts? Well, these people came. They landed. And they went through a lot of hardship. But as time went on, things changed. England was still ruling. England was ruling them. And a little bit further on, something happened. It was called the Stamp Act of 1765. 145 years after the Pilgrims came the Stamp Act of 1765. So it was 145 years later. A British tax on anything that was printed from newspapers to playing cards. So anything that was on print, they had a tax put on them. The colonists had no representatives in the British Parliament, and this is where the slogan, no taxation without representation, came from this tax. So things started heating up against the United States and Britain. Then in 1770, the Boston Massacre happened. Again, Massachusetts. A confrontation between British soldiers and the Boston colonists escalated when the soldiers fired into a crowd, killing 5 and wounding 6. What it was is those Bostonites started throwing snow, ice, sticks, and all kinds of things, and then finally the British soldiers fired, which escalated everything else. Things are heating up. It's getting harder. It's getting harder to live in that land of free. December 16, 1773, the Boston Tea Party. We've heard about it. But I got a question. Do you have any idea the amount of tea that they actually dumped in? You know what it was worth in our dollars now? $1.7 to $2 million. That's a lot. That is an awful lot. I did not know it was that much. So, out of that, in 1774, came the Intolerable Acts. Now, these were different things that they did. listen to this. The 1774 British responded to with the coercive acts or the intolerable acts, increasing tensions. The intolerable acts, called the coercive acts by Britain, were a series of laws passed by the British Parliament to punish Massachusetts, us again, after the Boston Tea Party. They included closing the port of Boston until the tea was paid for, $1.7 to $2 million in our money now. That's a lot of money. Reducing self-government in Massachusetts, allowing British officials accused of crimes to be tried elsewhere, expanding the Quartering Act, we're not going to get into that, requiring colonists to house British troops when necessary, and the result, instead of dividing the colonies, the law united them in opposition to Britain and led directly to 1774, the First Continental Congress, which met in Philadelphia. Now the United States government's starting to come together. Things are starting to happen. Rebellions were happening. The delegates from 12 of the 13 colonies met in Philadelphia to respond to the intolerable acts. What came out of it? They united the colonies politically. They issued a declaration and resolves asserting colonial rights. They organized a boycott of British goods. The Continental Association did that. They agreed to meet again if Britain did not change its policies. Well, the policies didn't change. Things got worse. Until the face-off happened. April 19, 1775, the battles of Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts again. These were the first military engagements of the American Revolutionary War. And that is where we heard the shot around the world. When that first shot happened, some say it came from the British side, some say it came from the American side, more lean towards the American side, but nobody knows exactly who was the one that did the first shot. So April 19, 1775, the shot heard around the world. And that also took in the battle at the Old North Bridge. Has anybody ever been there? I did once in my life. And there are people all over the place that would love to see this place. Again, we don't know what we have for history. And the Revolutionary War was on its way. The United States people, they were farmers, anybody that was willing to take up a gun. They were called Minutemen, and they were against the Redcoats. Then on July 4th, 1776, like John Adams was talking about, they signed the Declaration of Independence. And then you hear another slogan that came up. When you sign something, put down your John Hancock. Because John Hancock, he did his big. Some say he did it for the king so the king could see it, but John Hancock was not shy in any way, shape, or form. He wanted everybody to see that his name was there, largest there. Why July 4th? Think about it. We celebrate July 4th. Was that the end of the Revolutionary War? No. No. That was not the end of the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War went on for, I think it was 7 years and two more months. 7 years. Is that biblical number seven? So what they were doing is they declared themselves free. And let's celebrate. While they were celebrating on July 4th, and 1777 was the first organized July 4th celebration, England was still on their soil, on the United States soil, and they were still shooting at them, but they were celebrating. No kidding. For 7 years, and they were celebrating. We are free. We are liberated. No, they weren't. They were fighting for their freedom. Then the Battle of Yorktown happened. That was the decisive battle that happened in the Revolutionary War that flipped everything. And it was a major American victory. And then that led to September 3rd, 1783, the Treaty of Paris was signed, and Great Britain officially recognized independence of the United States. Finally, we got our independence. But 7 years it went on. And when I first started looking into this, I'm going, Treaty of Paris? Yeah, they went over to Paris. Again, France. France. Where'd we get the Statue of Liberty? France. The Treaty of Paris was over there. But you know, there's a lot of connections to the United States and France. There's a lot of parallels, too. Watch when we get into this a little bit more. September 17, 1787, the United States Constitution was completed and signed by 39 delegates. June 21, 1788, the Constitution was ratified when New Hampshire became the ninth state to approve it. March 4, 1789, the new federal government under the Constitution officially began. We have two major symbols of liberty, the Liberty Bell. And that was in 1752 when that was done. Do you know that's not the original? The one that's hanging, it's in Philadelphia, that's not the original. Do you know there was three of them? I was shocked by this. The first one was commissioned in, for it to be made in England, out of all places, but in 1750. But when they tried the first bell and they rang it for the first time, it cracked. So they took that metal, they melted it down, and when they melted it down, they added a couple more different types of metal to make it stronger, and then they forged another one, and this one was in the United States, same thing. But what happened? Odd sound, didn't sound good. So they said, yeah, we can't have this, you know? So they melted that down, and then they made this one, the third one. And it's all out of the same metal, but they added different things to be able to do it. But this one ended up cracking too. You know, if you're looking at symbolism, it seems like everything that had to do with liberty cracks and fractures. And we're seeing cracks and fractures all over the place. And in 1886 is when the Statue of Liberty came. Now, when the Statue of Liberty came, the French were the ones that gave us the Statue of Liberty, okay? The pedestal we had to pay for and we had to make, okay? Not a problem. But people didn't want to donate money. So there was a man that owned a newspaper, and he said, I will publish your name and how much you gave if you give to this cause. Money came in left and right. Everybody wanted their name in the newspaper. I want my name in the newspaper. So the money started coming in. You know what the guy's last name was? Pulitzer. That's where the Pulitzer Prize comes from. Amazing how everything's intertwined, isn't it? Fascinating. Now, the Liberty Bell. That crack, it was a little bit thinner. And that crack ended up happening a little bit on the bottom, but the last time it was rung, it was on an anniversary of George Washington's birthday. After that, it got put aside. It's in Philadelphia, across the street from Independence Hall. And that's what it looks like. 1798, though. 1798 is a pivotal year. See that coin? That's this one right here. This is a penny from 1798. Okay? I always looked at it as what it's worth. It's very worn from 1798. All right? Then when you start thinking about it, in 1798, what was happening? Do you know when this penny was made, George Washington was still alive? Wow. Think about that. Wow. Okay. 1798. Napoleon went in to take the Pope captive when this was made. Wow. That's a piece of history in your hand. Do you know 1798, people were still alive, a lot of them, from the Revolutionary War. Somebody from the Revolutionary War probably handled this and spent it. It's well worn. So a lot of people handled it. When you look at something like this, the history that's there that you hold in your hand is incredible. 1798 is big. 1798 is when the time of the end started. Daniel writes about it. You see it in Daniel chapter 11. You see it in other places in the book of Daniel. Daniel is the only one that talks about that phrase, the time of the end. This great controversy. The prophecies present a succession of events leading down to the opening of the judgment. This is especially true of the book of Daniel. But that part of his prophecy, which related to the last days, Daniel was bidden to close up and seal to the time of the end. Not till we reach this time could a message concerning the judgment be proclaimed, based on a fulfillment of these prophecies. So not until, okay, this book was opened, could somebody do or proclaim the judgment. Let's go, great controversy again. And this is in a different page, 356. But since, here's the date, 1798, the book of Daniel has been unsealed. Knowledge of the prophecies has increased, and many have proclaimed the solemn message of the judgment near. So, we've got a date, 1798. So, again, this penny right here, and 1798, this is when the judgment started. Wow. Wow. The proclamation of the judgment didn't actually start until what? October 22nd, 1844. Do you see what I mean? So now the judgment can be proclaimed. And if you notice all the history that came out of this country, biblically. 1886, Grover Cleveland was the president that dedicated the Statue of Liberty. Do you know Grover Cleveland is the only president that had non-consecutive terms, did 4 years, lost 4 years, and then did 4 years again? Sound familiar? President we have right now. Did 4 years, lost 4 years, did 4 years. Parallels are staggering. Did you know that on the foot of the Statue of Liberty, I never knew this. There's a chain, a broken chain, which stands for liberty and freedom. But something else happened that shows you liberty and freedom being set free, being just released. In 1886, the same year in Minneapolis, is when A.T. Jones and his other buddy, who's his other buddy? Wagner and Jones. When Wagner and Jones, they stood up at the General Conference for the first time, and they brought up righteousness by faith. And there was a turmoil in the church. There was a turmoil in the church. It looked like the country, we got a symbol of liberty, but in the church there was a turmoil. But you know what it was? Like Sister White said, we have preached the law to were as dry as the hills of Gilboa. And what we needed was what? Needed to see it's Christ that is everything, all in all. Yes, the commandments are there. Yes, we have to keep the commandments. But everything hinges on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Liberty. There's your liberty. But now look at this. Here's the rest of the verse, Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and then he spake as a dragon. That means this United States, this symbol of liberty, is going to end up turning. Now, I never knew this, but you see the Statue of Liberty there. Did you know that there's one in France too? I never knew that. Never knew that. And the person that did all the metal work on the inside of the Statue of Liberty, okay, his last name was Eiffel. And he's the same one that did the Eiffel Tower. He's the one that did all the metal work on the inside of the Statue of Liberty. But if you notice, on the books that the Statue of Liberty in France is holding, it says July 4th, 1776. But under that, because the one in America just says July 4th, 1776, right? The one under that, what's it say? July 14th, 1789, when the French Revolution actually started. Because that was a progressive thing. We look at the 1793 when they actually went against the king and everything else. And that's when the Reign of Terror started and everything else. We see that in prophecy because it's pointed out. But it actually started and it became a republic, okay, after a while. But the first one, and they stormed what's called the Bastille. And the Bastille, what it was a prison, and there were only seven people in there, but they ended up crushing it because it was a, what would you call it? It was a symbol of French power. So we have on their Statue of Liberty, the United States and France. It came from France. During the French Revolution, so July 14, 1789 is when the French Revolution, French Revolution started from 1793 to 1797, turned against the Bible. And the two witnesses died in the streets, and that's in Revelation chapter 11, 7 and 8. But we know that at some point, the United States starts speaking as a dragon. See the parallels? It's amazing. Let's keep going. Has anybody ever heard of Black Tom? Black Tom. Across the water was an ammunition depot, and it was on an island called Black Tom. That's what the island was called. And this was during World War I. So in 1916, this happened. What happened was some German people came on to that island, secretly, of course. And what happened was they ended up igniting tons of ammunition. Why? Because we were helping the Allied forces and we were giving them ammunition. So Germany wanted to stop it, so they went in and blew that up. But from that happening, see Liberty's arm? Liberty's arm got hit by shrapnel from all the way across. It hit the arm. You used to be able to go up the arm and even be on the top where the flame was. Now you can't do that. And they have since changed the thing in the 80s, I think they did it. They changed the flame in the 80s. So Liberty's arm got hit and damaged. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. The Statue of Liberty cracked. That's this earthly stuff. It cracks, just like the Liberty Bell cracked. But there's no crack in our Lord. There's no crack in the liberty from our God. Everything is solid with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have freedom through Jesus Christ. We celebrate the 4th of July once a year, but we celebrate liberty in Jesus every day. And it is solid. When I started getting into this thing, I'm looking, it's like everything that is earthly falls apart. The only thing that does not fall apart is Christ. God. God is rock solid. That's why Jesus is called what? The rock. Unmovable. Unshaking. Our God is there no matter what. So, under Grover Cleveland, something else was happening. Sunday Law started, the American Sentinel. Do you see what it says here? It's kind of small up there, but I need it too. February 23rd, 1888, the movement for a Sunday Law happened by Nelson Blair. It was called the Blair Bill. And Nelson Blair tried to push all of this through so a Sunday Law would happen. When did that happen? In 1888. And righteousness by faith was going in full swing at that time, and it was going back and forth. And that is when Sister Whitehead said that the Lord may have came back at that time, but he didn't. His people weren't ready. That's when A.T. Jones ended up going in December to Congress, and he spoke in Congress to try to stop the Sunday Law. And what ended up happening is they said to him, well, if it was on the day that you keep, you wouldn't mind. And he said, no. He said, religion cannot be forced. Amen. We can't do it, not from my side, not the other side. Amen. And he did a presentation that changed everything. Now, we're looking at the Heritage Foundation. See the parallels? Same kind with the president. 4 years in, 4 years out, 4 years in, we have a parallel. A Sunday law. We even had the North American Division has spoken against this. Doug Batchelor has put out things against this. You see what I mean? What I'm saying is we are seeing parallels that are happening in history. The question is, there's two countries. Which one do you want? This one is going to sink. That's why when you look in Hebrews, they were looking for a different country. Same way as the pilgrims. The pilgrims, they wanted another country that they could worship God, that they could save for their children, a place where they could be safe to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. And it was religious persecution that made them go the most. You know, Sherry and I, we went to the Plymouth Museum. And when we were walking in through, they said because they wanted to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath? Really? They wanted to keep the Sabbath? And then the next thing, it said yes. And every Sunday, I went, ah! So we are seeing the Heritage Foundation is starting to push. They want a Sunday law. We've heard of Project 2025. Well, that's passed. No. The people are still pushing. And they're getting more and more vocal. You see, here's another parallel. George Washington, he was a captain, all right, the main captain of the American Army in the Revolution, right? Jesus Christ, Michael. Joshua fell before him, captain of the Lord's hosts. It's parallel. Washington became our first president. Jesus becomes our king. Amen. You see? We don't want a king like the other countries, and we don't want a president. We want King Jesus. Amen. Again, which country do you want? Liberty's cracked. But this is what's on the top of the Liberty Bell. It is on the very, very top. Now, look at this. Look at this. Oh, backwards, Jim. Backwards. If you could see it right there, it says Leviticus 25:10 is on the Liberty Bell, on all three. And it says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. On the jubilee is when that ends up happening. And it was on the 50th year. So everybody gets their possessions back. But with God, when the Jubilee happens, that's when we get what? We get restored completely back to Christ, and we go home. And then the Feast of Tabernacles starts. I go to prepare a place for you. Look at this. Leviticus 25:8-9. And you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee. Seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 349 years. And you shall, and then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the which day? The Day of Atonement. We are in the antitypical Day of Atonement. And you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. What's this trumpet being blown now? Three angels' message. We are supposed to be telling everybody we are on the other side of the judgment, 1844. We are supposed to be telling everybody about what? The third angel's message. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. 1812, you had the War of 1812. Who was in that? William Miller. William Miller. And where was he? He was on Lake Champlain in New York, and we ended up winning that battle of Plattsburgh on September 11th. More parallels. But you know, it was a lot of it was fought on the water. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sits are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. What we are doing right now is we are battling for all the people in the world. We have to give a message for our Lord. Amen. To every multitude, nation, people, and tongue. The Minutemen, we're supposed to be Minutemen, every one of us. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you see? Again, if you're choosing that heavenly country, we're Minutemen. The parallels to the way the United States has come up and is going is staggering. Because you know why? Why do we have to be Minutemen? Because the Redcoats are coming. The Redcoats are coming. A Sunday Law is coming. And they're dressed in red. Brothers and sisters, it's a holiday, yes, But let your mind go to God's great controversy. All of this started with a war in heaven, just like the whole United States started with that, those skirmishes, and then the Revolutionary War. But our God says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That, what our Lord is offering us, is the country that I want. That's why you're here, is for that country. This country is a great country to live in. It is, but it's going to turn on us. It's going to turn on us. The redcoats are coming. Be a Minuteman. Tell everybody the third angel's message. Teach them. Show them. Just happened to me. I was getting a new set of shoes, and I was talking to the guy, and I said to him, I said, you know, I need them for church. My feet are having problems, so I needed different things. So we got up to the register, and he said, what church you go to? I said, the Hudson Seventh-day Adventist Church. I said, have you ever heard of Seventh-day Adventist? And he goes, no. I said, shame on us. And he said, but I know where your church is. I just drove by it the other day, and I said to my girlfriend, I wonder what that church is like. And I said, come. Come. So we talked a little bit, and he said where he's going. And he said to me, there's something off. I said, Sabbath. And he went, yes. Sabbath. God's speaking to people. We don't know. I was just getting a pair of shoes, and I invited him. And what does Jesus say? All ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come. To say at the end of Revelation, come, everybody, come. Choose the heavenly country. We have blessings here. Don't get caught up in the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. All right? Keep your eyes always focused on Christ's country, his kingdom. And we can't lose. Thank you.